Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I want to welcome those here in the congregation and those listening on the radio. Let's just ask the Lord's help here, if you don't mind, if you'll bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, and as we get ready to present this message, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be here and help bring this message into our hearts and help it to help us have a better relationship with you. And we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, the title of this sermon is Out to Get Him, and that means Jesus. They were out to get him, but I also could have entitled it, Who Do You Trust? We've all have images of faith healers. We've seen them on TV. We can get a mental picture of a TV evangelist wearing a white suit, and maybe his hair has hairspray in it. And he has a little wireless earpiece in his ear. And there's a hidden studio technician, and he whispers things into his ear while he's on stage. And he might say something like this: there's a guy in row 8, red shirt, who's got crutches. We gave him $50, and he's ready to come up on stage and be healed. You give the word, boss. Another thing this week that we've had in the news quite a bit is what's been going on in Washington. Now, this isn't political, but I need this to help lay the foundation for my message today. So don't try to read anything political into it. But this is just a little bit of review of what's been going on and what it almost seems like a very dysfunctional and broken nation's capital. It says, President Donald Trump on Friday broke his silence on Twitter following explosive testimony by fired FBI Director James Comey, declaring total and complete vindication. Trump's Twitter account had been quiet throughout Comey's testimony, accusing the administration of spreading lies. But a day after the closely watched hearings, Trump struck back with an early morning tweet. Wow, Comey is the leaker. While Trump might feel vindicated, Comey's reputation as a truth teller didn't seem to take a hit. In his testimony, Comey detailed months of distrust of the president and bluntly asserted that Trump had fired him to interfere with the probe of Russia's ties to the campaign. Also in his testimony, Comey revealed that he orchestrated the public release of information about his private conversation with the president. That's kind of unethical to do that. In an effort to further the investigation, Trump's tweet read, despite so many false statements and lies, total and complete vindication. And wow, Comey is the leaker. Well, you can see this goes back and forth. Congress is trying to establish what took place between a private conversation between two men. I could go on here, but I don't want to go too far with this. Let me just finish this part of this with this. At one point, Comey practically dared Trump to release any recordings of their conversation, a prospect the president once alluded to in a tweet. During a discussion of the Hillary Clinton email investigation, Comey disclosed that the Attorney General Loretta Lynch, an Obama administration employee, instructed him to refer of this issue as a matter and not an investigation. So again, it just keeps going back and forth. Well, now Comey reaffirmed the intelligence community's conclusion that Russia, according to him, did meddle in the election. And Trump has begrudgingly accepted that acceptance. But he has also suggested he doesn't believe it, saying Russia is a ruse, calling the investigation into the matter a witch hunt. Okay, that's enough of that. A witch hunt. Are you familiar with that term? Witch hunt. It occurred in Salem, New York, back around the 1700s, maybe even in the 1600s. some woman maybe in a local community might be a little odd or might make the wrong person mad. And to get back at them, the rumor would start to spread that, well, she's a witch. And so they'd come in the middle of the night, grab them, and sadly to say, some people were actually murdered this way. But it's because false accusations. Now, I don't know what's going on in Washington. I don't know who's right and who's wrong, and really, for today's message, we don't care. But it's just the idea that men have a way of not knowing exactly the truth, especially when things take place behind closed doors. So what does all this have to do with our study of Jesus today? Did the carpenter from Nazareth sometime make impressive claims, unsubstantiated campaign promises that would be easy to check on and refute? Well, yes, he did. He made a lot of claims, and they would be easy to refute and to check on. Author James Sire, who writes about the many statements of Jesus during his years of ministry in a book entitled, Why Should Anyone Believe Anything at All?, has a quote here, and I want to read it to you. Jesus presented a consistent picture of God, himself, and others. When liars elaborate or answer the same kinds of questions repeatedly, they are easily caught in inconsistencies. There is in Jesus a unity of teaching. The stories, the clever sayings, and the constant compassion for people, the obvious wisdom of his teaching, the ethical depth of both his teaching and his character, no fault could be found in him. At his trial, his accusers contradicted themselves. But Jesus stood at his trial with the same integrity as he did on the city streets. Have you ever noticed sometimes on certain television dramas a prosecuting attorney will go after a defendant with the same rapid-fire litany of questions that go over and over it again? They come at him from left, right, middle, high, low, hoping to eventually slice through the web of lies. On sitcoms, it's often a source of humor. Watch someone trying to hold a preposterous story together, even for just a half hour. But Jesus, in his years of ministry, 3.5 years of ministry, with many sermons on the record, with all his parables, his teachings, his off-the-cuff visits with lawyers, priests, disciples, and common folk, there's no evidence that Jesus ever lied or fabricated. What's more, and this is a huge point, you cannot find an incident in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John where Jesus said that he could or would do something and then later failed. Now, how many times have you yourself said that you would do something and failed to do it? We make promises, and then we don't keep them. We say we'll be here, or we'll say we'll be there, or say I'll do this, or I'll do that, and then we don't do it. Sometimes it's casual conversation, and it's easy to say, oh yeah, I'll take care of that, and then you don't take care of it. Broken promises. That never happened with Jesus. Whatever he said, he did. In the Gospel of John, we find a classic story where it would have been easy to trap an imposter Christ, a fake. Keep in mind that the religious leaders in Jesus' day would have loved nothing better than to nail this man from Galilee with fraud, with making false statements. They followed him everywhere, constantly listening to the things he said, to try to trap him. Jesus' enemies were obviously looking, and they had staked out his favorite hangouts, and they bribed stringers from the Jerusalem Post to help make any possible sting operation. Now to the story. And this is from John chapter 4. A royal officer, probably a man in King Herod's service, came to see Jesus. Come to Capernaum and heal my son, The lieutenant begged him, hurry, come down before he dies. So let's check this story out, and it's in John chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 46. And I'm going to read to 54. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea in Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my son dies. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the words that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. Now, let's pause just a minute. In earthly terms, this would be taking a huge risk. Just to say, go your way, your son lives. Easily said, hard to do. Big risk for failure for a normal person. Jesus doesn't even go to Capernaum. He dials it in. Your son lives. And then Jesus calmly goes about his way. So let's read on here. And as he was now going down, his servants met him. This is the nobleman now. As he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour that he got better. And they said to him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. And so the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus had said to him, your son lives. And he said to himself, believed in his whole household. And he himself believed in his whole household. And again, this again is a second sign that Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Now, think about this just a minute. What if the son hadn't gotten well? It's easy to look back now and say, well, he did. But then there was no guarantee. It had been much different then than as we look back now in the scriptures, because the story is done and complete. What if an official had started home and met his servants on the road in Capernaum, and they said to him, we're sorry, your son has died. Your boy died 3 hours ago. The credibility of Jesus would have been ruined forever. At any point in time during Jesus' ministry, if he ever said a single thing that didn't come true, his credibility would have been ruined. And he had a constant group of people following him, listening to all of his words to try to find fault in him. You know, they're trying to find fault with each other in Washington, and it's not very difficult, is it? But they tried to find fault in Jesus, and they didn't find any. Let's read one more healing, one more story about Jesus here. This is in chapter 5. We'll continue on, and let's read down through 13 or 15. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease they had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there, he knew that he had already had been in that condition a long time. And he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred. But while I am coming, another stepped down before me." He couldn't get in the water fast enough, so he kept getting shut out. He couldn't get down in the water. Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that in that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." Can you believe that? That's amazing, the mentality of the people. They were so ate up with trying to catch Jesus in any fault. And here they're going to criticize this guy for carrying his bed on the Sabbath. This is how far removed they were. All right, verse 11. "And he answered them, 'He who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk.' Then they asked him, 'Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?' But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place." Let's go ahead and read 14 and 15, then we'll finish it off. "Afterward, Jesus found him," this is the man again, in the temple, "and he said to him, 'See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you.'" Now, apparently, this man's infirmities had been brought on by some lifestyle, something he was living wrongly against the Lord's will, and made him sick. I don't know what it was. "The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well." Well, I didn't look this up, but I'm sure the spirit of prophecy probably does say what this is about. And I didn't have time to look it up. But if you got time this afternoon, it'd be interesting to find out what he was sick with. Now, Jesus had healed several people long distances. A centurion's servant was at death's door, and Jesus said to the Roman, "Go on home, he is fine." Sure enough, he said to the Canaanite woman, whose child was demon-possessed, "Go on home, no problem, your request is granted." And you know, when Jesus healed this man here at the synagogue, that was a very public thing. I mean, everybody was watching. Could have easily failed. When Jesus heard that his friend Lazarus was sick, he deliberately waited 2 more days and traveled calmly to Bethany and raised him from the dead. Can you imagine the scandal and the buzz that would have happened if he'd gone to the gravesite and then failed in this highly publicized resurrection attempt? And all the time Jesus was doing this, there was lots of eyes on. So at any point, it would have been easy to refute Jesus being the Messiah or being who he said he was. He told Peter to go to Galilee and catch a fish. The first one in his net would have a coin for the temple taxes. He told his followers to drop their fish nets here or there, and it always brought in record hauls. It simply goes to demonstrate that if there was a way for this Messiah campaign to falter and fail, it most certainly could have. But Jesus Christ was legitimate. He was legitimately who he said he was and what he claimed to be. They followed him for 3.5 years to try to prove otherwise, and it didn't happen. How easy it would have been for something like this to be proved wrong and for the word to get out, and that foolish Jesus tried to raise the dead but couldn't. But no one could deny these things. They really happened. And there was a lot of people that had bad motives that wanted him to fail. And they even twisted things to try to accomplish that. Now think about if you work, say, at the FBI or the White House or a big news outlet, and you put your faith in the leader of this organization, and then you find out through the course of your work that the guy you work for is a liar fraud. You might come in there pretty naive out of college and have grandiose expectations of how people are, and then you go to work and find out, oh, people are flawed. This person isn't who you thought they were. It's not the person that I saw when I first came in. Now that I've got to know him, it's not the person that I thought. And so you become disheartened. Life kind of hits you in the face. That's because you put your faith and trust in the wrong person. But I think this happens to a lot of people, especially young kids coming out of colleges. And sometimes that hurts you. You find out that people perpetrate a hoax. CNN completely put on a fake news story here a week or two ago in France. Had people staged and put banners and protest things in their hands, and the whole thing was faked and staged because somebody stood off to the side. So this is what they were doing with Jesus. They were standing off to the side, but in this case, they didn't find a fake. They found the real deal because people were standing back. They didn't have cell phones in their cameras like we do today, but they were still just as observant. And we would know about it today if Jesus was not who he said he was. What we find here in the good book is that Jesus is a leader we can count on. I know and you know that his promises come right into your home, right into your heart. You're counting on him, and so am I. Jesus promises to bring back our loved ones. He promises us a home in heaven. He promises us that his Father and all his holy angels and his Holy Spirit are supremely interested in our well-being. This is good news. This is our good news, wouldn't you say? Amen. Thank you. And our closing song today is what? What is it?